Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready? It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network, at BetMGM Network, over on Twitter. Like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends at BetMGM Network is where you can find the wagertainment. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Thursday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Cassant, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Ha, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on the Blue Jays, now one win away from a World Series title after beating the Dodgers last night in Game 5. Cannot believe we got here, but full credit to the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll be talking World Series all throughout this first hour and to begin the 4 o'clock hour. But as always, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, and we're going to get to a lot, NFL, college football, NBA, we got the World Series, college basketball. If you miss anything over these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe, rate, and review. We have four guests that will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern time. College basketball analyst at Field of 68, been covering the sport for decades, Jeff Goodman, returns to us here on You Better You Bet to break down the upcoming college basketball season, which begins on Monday. College hoops is back in our lives, baby. I mean, I've just gotten over what happened in the Final Four. Tyler has not gotten over it. I mean, maybe by Monday he'll be over what happened to Duke in the Final Four and what happened to Florida against Houston, or rather Houston against Florida, I should say. But college basketball will be back in our lives at 5 o'clock to begin the third hour of the program. At 5:20 Eastern, professional sports better, part of the Hammer HQ, our guy Joey Knish stops by in his weekly spot on a Thursday, breaking down his best bets in college football and in the NFL. And then to begin the Power Hour at 6 o'clock Eastern, NBC's lead betting analyst, Jay Croucher, will join us here on You Better You Bet. Jay does an awesome job on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Barry and Connor Rogers. We'll get all of his thoughts on Week 9 in the NFL and maybe squeeze in a little bit of NBA action as we are 1 week into the regular season in the association. And that's 6:20 Eastern time. Professional sports bettor, also part of the founder of the Hammer HQ, co-host of Forward Progress, Rob Pozzola, will give us his best bets for Week 9 in the NFL. And Rob, also a massive Toronto Blue Jays fan, will get his thoughts on the World Series as his team is one win away from a World Series championship, the first one since 1993. But as always, it's a Thursday. We want to hear from you as well, at home, watching and listening, in the car, in the office, wherever you are. Let us know your best bet for tonight's Thursday night football game between the Ravens and the Dolphins. Could be a side, a total, a prop. Let us know your best bet and why, and we will give you a shout out later in the program. All you need to do, put it in the YouTube chat or put it into the Twitch chat, and we will tip the cap to you, a real one here on a Thursday. But let's talk about what we saw last night in Game 5 of the World Series as the Toronto Blue Jays beat the LA Dodgers 6-1 to take a 3-2 series lead. Last night, the big headline, of course, has to be the absolute stud, the young stud, the legendary performance by Blue Jays pitcher Trey Yesavage. 22 years old, Trey Yesavage. And last night, the whole country knew his name because all the baseball junkies, like, they had been in the streets. College baseball fans, Jake Hassan, our baseball aficionado, he's known Trey Yesavage. Colin Wilson, college baseball better, was talking to us about Trey Yesavage last week and saying, hey, this is what he was doing in those college baseball circuits. Like, for most of us, you know, casual baseball observers, like, we didn't really know who Trey Yesavage was. He just got called up in the middle of September. How the hell would you know who Trey Yesavage was? But he is now a household name after his historic pitching performance last night in Game 5 of the World Series. Most strikeouts by a rookie in World Series history. 12 of those strikeouts by Trey Yesavage. First pitcher ever, not just rookie, first pitcher ever with 12-plus strikeouts and zero walks in a World Series game. This dude was unbelievable. Trey Yesavage last night, and this is courtesy of Sarah Langs over at MLB Network, does a great job with all these fun nuggets each and every night in the world of baseball. But last night, Trey Yesavage struck out all 9 batters in the Dodgers lineup, becoming just the 3rd pitcher in World Series history to do that, joining the likes of Randy Johnson in Game 2 of the 2001 World Series with the Arizona Diamondbacks and Bob Gibson in Game 1 of the 1968 World Series. That's the company that Trey Yesavage keeps. This dude was ridiculous. And I find it so funny because every time he's on the mound, Joe Davis, John Smoltz, they do a tremendous job on the broadcast for Fox doing the World Series and all throughout the playoffs. But every time Yesavage is on the mound, they always bring up that kind of the funny fact about him, about because he just got called up. Hey, you know, he doesn't even have a place to stay. He's staying in a hotel every time that he's out there in Toronto. And whenever they go on the road, Trey Yesavage has to check out of his hotel room because he can't just keep the hotel while he's not even in the country. Like, can we get the man a condo in downtown Toronto now? Like, he doesn't need to be in a hotel anymore. Can we get him a starter home if need be? Like, I think he's going to be staying there for a while. So let's get the guy some permanent residence in Toronto because this dude is now a Canadian legend. Like, not just in Toronto. The entire country sees Trey Yesavage as a legend. Because just think about it. His performance last night. And it is a pivotal Game 5 of the World Series, tied at 2 games apiece. Trey Yesavage, who made his big league debut 45 days ago, facing a loaded Dodgers lineup with multiple MVPs and future Hall of Famers. That is what was at stake last night in this pivotal Game 5. That is what he was facing last night in this pivotal Game 5. Shohei Ohtani, the greatest athlete in the history of sports, in my opinion. Treya Savage made him swing out of his helmet. We've all seen that image floating around social media. That's one that Treya Savage, if I'm him, I'm getting a t-shirt with that photo. That photo's hanging up in my house. I'm getting it plastered on my car if I have one. Like, I'm letting everybody know I was the dude that made Ohtani swing out of his helmet with a nasty, nasty pitch. That's Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts, former MVP, sit him down twice. Freddie Freeman, former MVP, sit him down not once, not twice, three times last night. Not to mention Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, Max Muncy. Yes, Savage wanted all the smoke from that Dodgers lineup last night. And this dude, who had 16 strikeouts in the regular season, has already struck out 17 batters in just the World Series. He was unreal last night. And I think it's so strange and so funny that everyone's talking about, like, hey, like, because he was only with the team for about 2 weeks in the regular season, he made $59,000 with the Toronto Blue Jays during his short stint in the regular season. And even after the game, Treya Savage brought it up, saying, like, hey, you know what, quote, this playoff paycheck is going to be nice whenever it hits. Like, good for you, young man. And honestly, I get it's going to be very nice, and you want to see it hit the direct deposit. But based on his pitching performance last night, a legendary pitching performance, as Joe Davis called it, a World Series masterpiece, I don't think in Toronto, Treya Savage is going to have to be grabbing for his wallet anytime soon. That dude is never going to have to buy a drink, a meal, whatever, in the country of Canada. Like, he is not going to have to do any of that, because that guy, if the Blue Jays pull this off, will be one of the all-time greats in Blue Jays history for that performance last night alone. His upside is unreal, and last night we just saw a glimpse of what Treya Savage can do on the mound in a very big spot. Now, of course, on the other side of it, there were many victims to Treya Savage last night. We outlined a few of them, Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts. But Savage last night, he made that Dodgers top of the order look like minced meat. And that is the big story in this World Series. And despite Dodgers manager Dave Roberts changing up the lineup, Mookie Betts no longer batting second, puts him in the three hole, puts Will Smith up at second right behind Shohei Ohtani. They're trying everything. Pajes out of the lineup. They're moving stuff around. None of it works. I mean, Mookie Betts was batting seventh last night. Mookie freaking Betts batting seventh. Didn't work. Didn't spark anything. Like, it's just, sorry, he wasn't batting seventh. He was batting third. But, like, this guy was being moved down in the order. It was Steve Phillips who said that he should bat seventh, is what he said. But, like, Mookie Betts getting moved down in the order. Like, this thing was all out of sorts. And it's because the Dodgers are trying to create something with this lineup, and it's not happening. And this is a high-priced lineup. And so far in this World Series, the Dodgers lineup, an OPS of 651. That's brutal. Like, yuck. That's not what you want in a very big spot. And it's the biggest stars who were in the torture chamber last night for the LA Dodgers. Like, this thing has just been empty. And I crushed the Philadelphia Phillies, their top of the order, during the NLDS and earlier in the postseason. Like, and it rightfully so. Like, the Phillies deserved it. But we have to have the same smoke for this Dodgers lineup. I know they've won a World Series. They did it last year. And they're two wins away from doing it this year again. But this lineup has not shown up. And credit to your Savage, what he was able to do. But also, it just has not been your Savage, as I mentioned, the OPS so far in this World Series. I mean, last night alone, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, 0 for 11 with 6 strikeouts. It can't be that. I don't care if it's your Savage, Randy Johnson, Bob Gibson, whoever's on the mound. It cannot be that last night for a lineup that is as loaded as the Los Angeles Dodgers have it. And now, for Toronto, this thing looks very, very real. One win away, it looks very, very real. And in addition to what your Savage did, the lineup continues to be consistent. And this lineup, I mean, they didn't even wait for Dodger fans to sit down in their seats. They jumped on them last night. Two home runs in the first three pitches of the game. How about Davis Schneider, the guy replacing George Springer? See you later. Like two pitches later, Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'm going yard. Like, this thing, they didn't even wait. Dodgers fans getting their Dodger dogs, their peanuts, their Cracker Jacks, their beers, whatever the hell they're getting at the concession stands. They sit down. Damn, we already down 2-0. What the hell happened? Like, that is how relentless the Toronto Blue Jays have been. And this goes to what we were saying on the show yesterday on Wednesday, and we had Steve Phillips on. He agreed with it as well. But through five games, there's no question who the better team has been. And I'm saying this as someone who thought the Dodgers would win in four or five games. But the Blue Jays, if we're being completely honest, have been the better team. I mean, all the authentic victories that they've had in this series. Game one, they dominate the Dodgers. Game four, they dominate the Dodgers. Last night, game five, they dominated the Dodgers again. And over the course of 162, yeah, the Dodgers are the better team. But in this particular series, a best of seven, it's been Toronto without a doubt. And honestly, like I said yesterday on the show, you could make the argument that the Dodgers should have been down 3-1 heading into last night's game. And based off of that, this series could be over. Like the Dodgers are very, very lucky that coin flip 18-inning marathon game went their way, because had it not, this thing is Dodgers lose it in five, which would have been absolutely stunning based on the conversation heading into this series. Now, with the Blue Jays being the better team through five games, and now they're going back home to Toronto with two chances to win one game and win a World Series for the first time since 1993, the betting market now at BetMGM has Toronto appropriately priced. The series price right now at BetMGM, Toronto minus 250, LA plus 200. Now your game six market, Dodgers a minus 140 favorite, Blue Jays plus 120 with a total of 7.5, because the Dodgers have the dude on the mound, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, coming off back-to-back complete game performances, one against the Brewers, and of course game two in Toronto against the Blue Jays. He'll be going up against Kevin Gausman. Of course, pitching matchup, big time edge for the Dodgers, in my opinion. I mean, back-to-back complete games. He has another game of 6 2/3 against the Reds and a bad start against the Phillies. But for the most part, he's been an absolute stud in this October. Like an ERA of 1.57 for Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Like, this dude has been the guy, and it's exactly who the Dodgers want on the mound. And I think game six, Friday night, I do think the Dodgers are going to win that game. But when it comes down to a game seven, and it's Tyler Glass now on the mound against Max Scherzer at the Rogers Center, that raucous crowd, that crazy environment, I don't have any faith in the Dodgers winning both of these games. They'll probably get them on Friday, but I do believe last night the Blue Jays put themselves squarely in the winner's circle in this fall classic. I think Toronto is going to be your World Series champion. Not a matter of if, just a matter of when. On the other side, we'll tackle the top stories throughout the world of sports, including Thursday Night Football in South Beach between the Ravens and the Dolphins.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe hanging with you guys this Thursday afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Blue Jays' win last night over the Dodgers. Toronto now one win away from a World Series, first World Series since 1993. As the Blue Jays, not many people saw this one coming, myself included. My hand is up on this one. I thought this was Dodgers in four, Dodgers in five. Well, how about Blue Jays in six or seven? I think that's where we're headed. I don't think Toronto is going to give up this lead. I do believe whether they win it Friday night or Saturday night, they will be your 2025 World Series champion. 20 minutes from now, we'll break down the rest of the NFL awards. If you missed it on Wednesday's show, I talked about MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. Well, today, we're doing Coach of the Year, both rookies, and Comeback Player of the Year. And this week, like, I was in the lab, man. And there are a few bets that need to be placed ahead of week 9 in the NFL. One of them in Coach of the Year, one of them in Offensive Rookie of the Year, and one of them in Defensive Rookie of the Year. So stick around for that coming up in the next segment. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's going on? How we doing here on this Thursday?
Doing good, Femi. Interesting that you got a defensive rookie here. I know we've been wait and see on that pretty much all season. I'm in. I got to see who this is.
You know what? It's always like one of the funnier award markets every single year. Like the year that Will Anderson won it, I literally bet him. It was Christmas Eve. He was 25-1 before they played the Tennessee Titans. Ended up having 3 sacks in the game. Jalen Carter had kind of trailed off because he was the big favorite the whole season, but then like trailed off and the Eagles defense started to suck. That was the year where they collapsed after starting the year 10-1. And then like within like 2 weeks, it's like, oh yeah, it's going to be Will Anderson. So like this is an award market where you want to be patient. And we've been patient as we've reached this midway point, but now I do believe it is the time to strike. So we will reveal that in about 15 minutes. But for now, let's get to the top stories that we have here on this Thursday. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, we are kicking off week 9 in the NFL tonight. And that's always the saddest week of the NFL season because that means we're more than halfway through the season when this week is completed. It's rough. It's rough for us football junkies. But tonight we've got Lamar Jackson back in action. He is actually going to play. He's not just going to be a fake full participant. The Baltimore Ravens are in Miami to take on the Dolphins. Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. Total points set at 51.5. Femi, how are you and others making this legendary over at BetMGM?
I see what you did there. It's a make it legendary Thursday. Once again, here we go. On paper, a matchup with a team that's 2-5 versus a team that's 2-6 would be terrible. And it's like, why would I ever want to watch this? Like, I'm going to spend my night doing something else. But I actually love this game because this game has real deal stakes. And I thought Lamar Jackson did a great job of outlining this earlier in the week by saying, hey, like, this is do or die for us. We won. We're 2-5. We beat the Bears last Sunday, but we can't let the foot off the gas. They got themselves into such a hole that, like, these are playoff games in October for the Baltimore Ravens. So I can't wait to see how they handle this game because they're much healthier now. Like, the defense is back to being healthy. The offensive line, Ronnie Stanley's healthy. The biggest one, Lamar Jackson, of course, is healthy. He's not going to be on the scout team tonight. He will be the QB1 for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, this is a big game for Baltimore, which makes this a really intriguing game, especially since the fact that Miami last Sunday looked like the 72 Dolphins against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I think that has a lot to do with Atlanta, if not all to do with the Atlanta Falcons, but still, at least Miami got off the campus a little bit. Maybe they're thinking they could save their season with a win in primetime over a team that is thought of as a Super Bowl contender. So this is a really good game in terms of the stakes. Now, how I'm looking to bet this one, I agree with the betting market that Baltimore should be a more than a touchdown favorite, and that's where we stand right now. You can maybe argue, should they be 8.5? Maybe you think they should be 9, whatever. I think you can do all that argument, but it's not a massive difference, 7.5 to like 8.5, whatever. Like, the game rarely lands on 8, even though it is somewhat of a key-ish kind of a number, but not as key as 3, 6, 7, etc. But to me, the Ravens, and I don't think you want to go crazy with this one, but I do think you want to kind of open up a couple of teasers heading into the weekend. That's how I want to bet this game. Not laying the 7.5. I would never take the 7.5. I want to use the Ravens in the teaser. And I think there's a number of games that you can tease the Ravens in. You could tease them with the New York Giants, get them up to 8.5. You could tease them with the Detroit Lions, get the Lions down to 2.5. You could tease them with the Broncos, which is my favorite one, getting Baltimore down to 1.5, Denver up to 7.5 against Houston. You could even tease them with the Chargers based on how people are betting that game. The Chargers now down to 8.5 against Tennessee at a couple of sports books. There are so many options where you could use the Ravens as that anchor. Open up a couple of them tonight, and then hopefully the Ravens win by at least 2, and you've got some nice tickets heading into the weekend. That is how I will be betting tonight's Thursday night football game. As for what everyone else is doing, 73% of the bets, 86% of the handle is on the Ravens laying 7.5. 61% of bets, 92% of the handle is on over 51.5. Like, you look at these defenses, Ravens defense, maybe they made some improvements against Chicago, but who knows? Let's see, wait and see on that one. But definitely Miami's defense, you can run all over them. And guess what? Derrick Henry is on South Beach right now. Like, that's not a good situation for Miami. So the over has been getting bet. 74% of the bets are on Dolphins money line at plus 350. 58% of the handle, though, is on the Ravens money line at minus 450. As for the popular player props, Derrick Henry, under 18.5 rushing attempts, that's the fifth most popular. Fourth most popular, Devon Achane, under 59.5 rushing yards. Third most popular, Keaton Mitchell, over 10.5 rushing yards. Second most popular, Jalen Waddle, over 62.5 receiving yards. And the most popular player prop over at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, Devon Achane, under 13.5 rushing attempts. I'm assuming that's just people thinking that Miami's going to be down in the second half, so they're not going to be able to just run the football like they were last week against the Atlanta Falcons. As for the most popular anytime TD score, it's the South Florida native, Lamar Jackson, plus 170 as your most popular anytime touchdown scorer. I will have first TD score bets at 640 with Femi's Island, but for me, it's Ravens teasers tied to a couple of games heading into this weekend as we look for Baltimore to be that anchor leg and setting up nicely for Sunday. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Femi, let's switch over and do a little college football because Texas quarterback Arch Manning is still in concussion protocol, making his status up in the air for this Saturday's game against the ninth-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores. Femi, if Arch can't go, it's going to be Matthew Caldwell, who threw that game-winning touchdown last week, under center for the Longhorns. This is going to be a noon kick on ABC. Texas currently minus 3 over at BetMGM.
Yeah, this is a really, really fascinating betting market because I think for most people who've been watching the season and not dabbling into the betting streets or whatever, just watch it as a college football fan, I think a lot of people are thinking to themselves, wow, how is Vanderbilt an underdog? They're the better team. I mean, that's not how betting works. it's not. And maybe on Saturday, Vanderbilt proves that they're the better team, but heading into the game, Texas, like, the power ratings are rather equal, and you factor in the home field advantage, this is how you get to Texas being a 2.5 and maybe even 3-point favorite, as I'm seeing at some sports books across the country. There are threes now that are populating. If you like Texas, like, now is the time to bet those 2.5s because they are going away quickly. As for how I look at this game, like, if Arch Manning is out there, I don't really have much interest just because, and this is not like shade towards Arch, because, like, I don't think Arch is that good, but, like, the most important part of this is that Arch has been limited in practice. Like, I don't want to be backing Arch Manning when, like, oh, like, what'd you do in practice this week? Oh, I kind of, like, you know, did some individual stuff and, like, wasn't able to do, like, the full allotment of reps and all that to get ready for the game. That doesn't seem like a great situation to me. So I actually would prefer that the backup quarterback, Matthew Caldwell, who did throw a touchdown in overtime, by the way, I would prefer that Matthew Caldwell be the quarterback to where maybe people are betting against Texas because, oh, Arch is out, let me bet Vandy, and maybe we get, like, Texas at 1.5, Texas 2 in that range, and I would love Texas in that spot because I do think Texas is going to win this game. Everyone's got Pavia fever. He's saying he should be the Heisman. Everyone loves Vandy and the story and Clark Lee, and it's all been great. But this is now a third consecutive game where they're going up against a big boy opponent. Vanderbilt is not used to that with expectations. Expectations are here. They're now a playoff contending team. How do they handle that on the road against a Longhorn squad that needs to win the game to keep their CFP hopes alive? I don't think it's going to work out for the Commodores. Give me Texas. I have not placed this bet yet. I want to do some more research to see, hey, is Arch Manning going to play? Or if he gets ruled out, maybe we get a better number. But I will have a Texas ticket in pocket Saturday afternoon. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, this is an interesting story here. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry spoke about the open coaching position at LSU and said that the LSU AD, that's Scott Woodward, he would not be hiring the next head coach. The quote from Jeff Landry is, "We are not going down a failed path." Landry said that LSU's board of supervisors would form a committee, and that committee would find the next coach. They are going to take that decision away from Woodward, who, of course, hired Brian Kelly. Also of note, the board's chairman, Scott Ballard, was asked about this by the media, and he said he was completely unaware of that plan. So the board doesn't know they're doing this. Jeff Landry said this is happening. So, Femi, interesting the governor's talking about this at all, and if the AD isn't going to be hiring the football coach, I wonder why the AD is even employed.
It's a great question, isn't it? Like Jeff Landry, or excuse me, Governor Landry is just saying like, hey, like, look, I am the captain now. Like he's just saying, I'm taking over this bad boy. That's what Governor Landry is doing. Like, and this, in my opinion, is the best job in the country. You go to LSU, you win national titles. Unless your name is Brian Kelly, which is why we're having this conversation to begin with. But like Nick Saban, you saw Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. Like, does anyone really think Ed Orgeron's a great coach? Like, let's be for real. No, he's a good recruiter, and he got a bunch of talent because there's a bunch of great football players hanging out in Louisiana, in Texas, and in down south in general. Like, it's a great, great job. But now it seems chaotic. This is the issue in college sports. And because they don't have a university president, this opens things up for all sorts of shenanigans. Well, hey, shenanigans are here, as you got the governor who's telling the board of supervisors that they're going to be a part of the hiring process, and someone on the board of supervisors saying, that's the first I heard of it. Like this does not seem like a good situation. And the big thing to me that's not really grabbing the headlines, but I do think it is the more underrated aspect of this story, is the coaching contracts. Because that's what Governor Landry wants to change. He does not want these coach-friendly contracts to where if they were fired, they get this massive buyout. But unfortunately, Governor Landry, what that's going to prevent you from doing is hiring an attractive coaching candidate. Because any coach worth a damn, any coach who has options, is not going to be like, yeah, I'll let you just write the contract and I'll sign wherever. No, do you think Jimmy Sexton, who represents like 90% of these college football coaches, you think he's going to sign up for these like school-friendly contracts? No way in hell is that happening. So what does that do to the job market for LSU, the job search? Like, who are they going to hire? Is Lane Kiffin signing up for that? I doubt it. I feel like Lane Kiffin would rather go to Florida if this is how the governor of Louisiana is talking. Like, who's coming down? Like, are you going to go call Jimbo? That's what got Governor Landry mad in the first place, because Scott Woodward hired Jimbo back at Texas A&M. Like, I don't know what LSU is going to do. They don't have a president. It looks like they don't have an AD now that Scott Woodward's been neutered in terms of his decision-making process. But yeah, the whole thing seems chaotic. And I think LSU is going to look back and say, you know what? What in the world went down with the governor making the decision and everyone else just having to go along with it? That's not great for the football program. It's not great for the athletic program as a whole. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Little more college football here, Femi. Matt Rhule looks like he is not leaving Nebraska. There's been plenty of rumors, of course, that Rhule could be one of the key targets for the open position at Penn State. But today he signs a 2-year extension, keeping him a Cornhusker through 2032. That new extension also increases his buyout from $5 million to $15 million. So, Femi, it looks like Penn State will be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, that's the big one with this. I thought Matt Rhule was going to Penn State. It seemed like that's what everybody was saying. Like, hey, like, he's a Penn State guy. They have an opening. Here's Matt Rhule. But to me, it looks like Matt Rhule staying in Lincoln for at least the next couple of years. Now, like, we can work around these buyouts. But this year in particular, that's not happening. I don't think anyone's going to want to pay that $15 million on top of having to pay Matt Rhule a new contract. And on the positive, great for Nebraska, because Matt Rhule is choosing Nebraska over Penn State, which doesn't say a lot of great things about Penn State, does it? Someone who went there and it's like, I'm good, actually. I'm going to stick here in Lincoln, Nebraska. No shade to Lincoln, but I mean, come on. Like that is a big win for Nebraska that they have Matt Rhule committed to them. For Penn State, who are they going to hire? I mean, Mike Elko's name's been thrown around because he went to Penn. He's a Jersey guy. Clark Lee at Vandy, he's a hot name based on what Vandy's been doing the last couple of years. Matt Campbell, does that get anyone excited? That feels like the leftovers. Manny Diaz, who was the DC there before he now took the job over, or is the DC at Miami, rather. He was a DC at Penn State as well for a little bit. Like, I don't think any of this is really attractive to anyone. And for me with Penn State, I don't know where they go from here outside of maybe just sending a godfather offer to Mike Elko. But if you're Mike Elko, why would you leave A&M? A&M got all the money. Like, they're going to pay him probably at the end of this season when they go to the CFP. So I'm curious to see what Penn State does, but this is a big domino in that coaching search. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
Maybe a couple NBA notes from last night. Austin Reeves, the game winner, despite no LeBron and no Luka for the Lakers over the T-Wolves. And Trae Young injures his knee in the Hawks 117-112 win over the Nets, awaiting the result of an MRI. But Quinn Snyder says it is not his ACL.
Yeah, and that's a good thing for Trae Young. Obviously, like, ACL means he's done for the year. So we'll wait for that news to come out probably at some point this afternoon. But for Austin Reeves and the Lakers, like, Reeves has taken a step forward. And he looks like a legitimate, like, all NBA caliber player. Now, what does that mean for the Lakers this year? I still don't think they're a contender, because my big thing with LA is that their top three guys are terrible defenders, and you cannot win the title if that's the case. We break down NFL awards next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Thursday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Blue Jays victory over the Dodgers. Toronto now one win away from a World Series championship, first one since 1993. Through five games, Blue Jays have been better. And I think the Dodgers are honestly lucky that this bad boy is even going back to Toronto, because they were outplayed probably in all three of these games in LA. They were fortunate to win the marathon game with Freddie Freeman's walk-off, but games four and five, Blue Jays did a number on the Dodgers. But Nick will talk about that coming up to begin the 4 o'clock hour. Wanted to get into some NFL awards here to wrap up this 3 o'clock hour. And I did see this headline from ESPN's Adam Schefter. He tweeted this video out from his podcast, and the tweet says, and this it leads right into what we're about to talk about. The tweet says, it's early, but the Indianapolis Colts could have the coach of the year, rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, and the MVP. Colts mania is here, as they have the best record in the NFL. And it leads us right into coach of the year, where the favorite is, of course, Indianapolis Colts head coach Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen, now even money to be coach of the year over at BetMGM. Like, this thing is getting real for Shane Steichen. Of course, the Colts 7-1 this season. They've been the biggest story in terms of improvement teams. Last year, they were 8-9. Like, they went on Sunday. They were already a match that win total from a year ago as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game on the road where they are a 3-point favorite. So it's a pretty simple case for Shane Steichen. But I will say this with Indianapolis, and this is like Colts week. The week started on Monday with everyone saying Jonathan Taylor MVP. You're even getting some Tyler Warren, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now it's they're going to win four of these awards. Shane Steichen's your Coach of the Year. Like, get ready for all the midseason content coming out next week after we're done with week 9. Shane Steichen's going to be like the unanimous Coach of the Year. And it's going to feel like, at least in the moment, that, wow, how could anyone ever beat Shane Steichen? Everyone says he's the Coach of the Year. But the thing you need to keep in mind, there's still a second half of the season to play. That is the important thing to keep in mind. So, like, don't get nuts. And I even have to remind myself that about Jonathan Taylor, Offensive Player of the Year. Like, it looks great right now. He's minus 275. Oh, look at us. There's still half the season to go. But for Shane Steichen, like, this thing is far from over. And let's just say, for some reason, on Sunday, we get the Tomlin voodoo game. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I think the Colts are going to win the game, but it is a 3-point spread. It would not be shocking if Pittsburgh somehow bounced back and won as a home underdog. Like, what happens if Mike Tomlin and the Steelers win that game? Like, that to me resets this market, not to where like Shane Steichen falls out of favor. He would still be your favorite, but the cracks will start to show. And that is the big thing with Indianapolis. When you look at the schedule that they've played thus far, they played the Chargers. Chargers are a good team. But when they played the Chargers had no offensive linemen. They were incredibly banged up. They won that game. They took care of business. They played the Broncos in a game where they were definitely losing, if not for the leverage penalty on the game-winning missed kick that allowed them to try again on a shorter field goal that they indeed made in week 2. But outside of those two games, Denver and LA, those AFC West opponents, it's been the Titans twice. It's been the Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett. It's been the Raiders. It's like the schedule has been soft. Like, let's call a spade a spade. It has been a soft schedule. So it was the Dolphins week 1. Like, looking back at that point spread being a pick 'em, that was going to be one of the LOLs at the end of the season. Like, the schedule has been pretty easy. It gets more difficult in the second half of the season. Like, they have a game in Berlin next week against the Falcons. And say what you will about Atlanta, but like, on any given day, if the right Falcons team shows up, you could be in a dogfight. They have the bye week. Then they're at the Chiefs. That's going to be a real litmus test game. Then they host the Texans, which the Texans offense can't really do much, but that defense is a lot to write home about. They're elite. So like, I think the schedule getting harder for Indianapolis in the second half, like, there's a chance that Steichen potentially falls off a little bit. And we always say with these awards, it's not necessarily how you start, it's how you finish. And I know that's cliche and like in sports and all that stuff, but with awards, with these voters who are human and humans are always subject to recency bias, it's a big deal how you finish. And if the Colts finish decent and not great, maybe it opens it up for someone else to win the award. Now, the guy that I want to bet on this week and did bet last night is a guy I actually bet over the weekend. And I added more last night because I think he's in a pretty good spot this week. That is Chicago Bears head coach Ben Johnson, who at BetMGM right now is 35-1. This was your preseason favorite, Ben Johnson. 8-1, plus 750. At all the sports books, everyone loved Ben Johnson. Chicago is 4-3. Not like they're like 2-6, you know? Like, the team is actually pretty solid from a record standpoint. And now this week, once again, there's a chance that they face a backup quarterback in Jake Browning. Now, we all saw the reports earlier this afternoon. Joe Flacco was back on the field at practice for the Bengals. So it sounds like maybe Flacco might be able to give it a go. But like, we're talking about a compromised Joe Flacco against the Chicago Bears. And the Bears get to go up against what is an atrocious defense in the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, what if the Bears win that game? They get to 5-3. Matching last year's win total, by the way, when they went 5-12. Like, the bar that Ben Johnson has to clear, not as high as the bar that Shane Steichen has to clear. So let's say they win on Sunday, they're 5-3. Host the New York Giants, they'll be favored. Let's say chalk outcome prevails, they win the game. They're now 6-3. They're at Minnesota, which is going to be a tricky game, and that's going to be like coin flip field goal either way. Like, I could see maybe Vikings pick them or something like that. Like, it's going to be a coin flip game. But let's say the coin bounces their way. They all of a sudden are now 7-3. They host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe the total of that game should be like 55. But let's say they beat Pittsburgh. And we could be talking about an 8-3 Chicago Bears team heading into Black Friday when they take on the Philadelphia Eagles. And the schedule isn't like super daunting. They do have the Packers twice in December. Like, that's not great. But like, there's games where they could definitely win to where, do they get to 10-7? Do they get to 11-6? At the price of 35-1, there's enough of a runway left in this season that I am intrigued. And I believe Ben Johnson this week is a bet to win Coach of the Year. Now let's get to some of the other awards. This is You Better You Bet. Femi Befe hanging out with you guys here on a Thursday. Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think if you polled any fan, any person that is just covering football or just watches the sport weekly, and you ask them, hey, do you think anyone's running away with Offensive Rookie of the Year? If they were being honest, I think the answer to that would be no. And now, a couple of weeks ago, we thought Emeka Abuka was running away, but with the injury, Tampa now on bye week, Abuka's kind of come back to the pack a little bit. Now, the current favorite is Giants quarterback Jackson Dart, who is -105 at BetMGM. 8 touchdown passes, 4 rushing touchdowns. Like, Jackson Dart has been playing well. But I still believe the schedule being so daunting that I don't think anyone's going to be running to award a quarterback who's on a team that goes 4-13. Like, that doesn't scream Offensive Rookie of the Year to me. Like, team success doesn't really matter that much. But like, 4-13 for a QB who didn't even play the entire season? Like, that's what we're doing? I don't think the price is justified right now for Jackson Dart. Which leads me to a guy that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I do think is actually percolating based on what happened prior to the bye week in Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Travis Hunter. I think there's a chance that this might be real, to where Travis Hunter starts doing more wide receiver stuff and ends up potentially coming wide receiver 1 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's 50-1 right now at BetMGM. Like, his stats, like, they're not the greatest. 28 catches, 298 yards, a touchdown. But, I mean, you look at it in comparison to Tetero McMillan, Tet McMillan's got 2 touchdowns. He's got 37 catches. He's got the 512 yards, but he's also played one more game than Travis Hunter. I think if Travis Hunter gets a wide receiver 1 workload, his talent alone gets him in the door, and at the price of 50-1, and that's the big thing, the price is what matters. I like Travis Hunter at price to add more to the 100-1 that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Another guy in Offensive Rookie of the Year, because this one is a 2x Thursday right here. Can I interest anyone in Ashton Jeanty at 22-1? And right after I said that, it immediately sounds gross, but that's why I like it even more. At price, Ashton Jeanty, he's in the mix. 445 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground. He's got 2 touchdowns receiving. They're playing the Jacksonville defense, which is not like the greatest defense of all time. And with the Raiders coming off of the bye week, I do believe there is a path to where this team comes out and plays much better than what we saw before the bye week. Brock Bowers has returned to the lineup. That opens up the passing game, which should help out with the running game for Ashton Jeanty, and the Raiders want to keep getting him the football. That's the big thing. We want to get Jeanty more opportunities because we believe he's a playmaker. Jenty's 22-1 at BetMGM. I think this is still wide open for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and this is the week to strike with Emeka Abuka on bye week. Now, Abuka could come back from bye week, and then he takes off, and then this whole thing is no longer a conversation. But as it stands right now, I do believe there's an opportunity to fade Jackson Dart, the quarterback of a team that's likely to go 4-13 at the end of the season. Let's go to Defensive Rookie of the Year, where the favorite is Giants edge rusher Abdul Carter. Like, are we just going to give the Giants all the awards, 2 awards on a team that sucks? Like, come on, like, just say it out loud. Is that really going to happen? I don't think it's going to happen. And Abdul Carter, let me give you his stat line at a +125 favorite. This season, 21 tackles, 0.5 sack, 1 tackle for loss. That's Abdul Carter, the favorite at +125. How about I give you a bet on a guy that's 22-1, plays the same position, has 19 tackles, 1 sack, 4 tackles for loss. How about Mykael Williams of the San Francisco 49ers? This to me is a bet on a guy that's going to get a lot of opportunity. What are we saying about the 49ers? Oh my goodness, look at all their edge rushers who are injured. Bosa, Bryce Huffnow, Yetur Gross-Matos. They don't have a single edge rusher available. Mykael Williams has to play out of necessity, and his numbers are damn near identical to Carter, if not better, when you look at tackles for loss. And he's 22-1, and Abdul Carter's plus 125 on a worse team. Make that make sense. To me, Mykael Williams at 22-1 is a bet, and the first bet for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And finally, Comeback Player of the Year. It is. Until foreseeable future, is Dak Prescott. He's even money. 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 70% completion percentage. As long as the Cowboys don't embarrass themselves and go like 6-10-1, I think Dak Prescott will be your Comeback Player of the Year. Could have been Daniel Jones, but none of you out there wanted to have fun after Flacco beat out him. Nick Costos joins us on the other side with his thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays, one win away from a World Series title.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.